This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, sexual harassment at Comic-Con. Apple's new OS is in beta, but our tech guy says downloader beware. And a promising new drug could fend off Alzheimer's before you get it. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom.
Ah, the glamour of the Emmys and the Monday commute, maybe not so much.
Jay Campidonia is dolled up and ready to go.
The creepiest story to date on the show, it involves young girls from a local neighborhood and porcelain dolls. You're not going to want to miss this.
He busted through the gridlock to get here on time. It's Chris Martin.
Speaking of commutes, could you imagine the busy streets of Los Angeles without a single vehicle on them? Well, I've seen it, and I'll describe it.
Impossible.
It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen.
You promised not to lie on the program. You are lying. Absolutely lying.
Hey, Jen, real quick, happy National Tequila Day.
Is that what this is?
Today is for you.
What people?
Oh, I had no idea. I've got to visit my tequila bar,
celebrate.
But I'll wait till after the show.
See, Jennifer Bjorklund has a tequila bar in her house at her palatial suburban estate.
So cheers.
Yes.
She brings by cupcakes. You know, how about a bottle of Reposado?
Got some of that?
Reposado.
Oh, Reposado.
Yeah. It makes you repose. That's why.
All right. We'll look that up a little later, too. And let's get things started. By the way, thanks for tuning in. It's a big show. Just packed. So we got to roll along. What's happening with the Emmys, Jen?
Oh, you want a carpool there? This
no.
is from the Hollywood Reporter, August 1st edition, upcoming. Red carpet arrivals at this year's Emmy Awards might be more about frustration than fashion. Okay, it's all because of NBC. Football-friendly decision, shifting the TV awards from Sunday to Monday.
Ooh.
Yes, to avoid a conflict with a preseason NFL game. Anyone want to guess what the teams are? Oh, it's Cincinnati at Arizona. Preseason. Woohoo!
Yay!
In August.
There's a seat filler.
Right? But since that's the Sunday night football game, they're moving the Emmys to a Monday, and that is causing a chain reaction, just logistical freaking nightmare.
They usually
They close Figueroa on Sunday because it's the Nokia Theater.
But
they moved there in 2008.
On a drive time work day, you can't close Figueroa.
No, because that's the alternate route when everything else is screwed up. So they're leaving Figueroa open. Okay, so that's good news and bad news. This is going to be a mess because the broadcast starts at 5.
Oh.
All the parking venues, they're going to be full of commuters.
Oh, that's
perfect. Yeah, Figueroa isn't going to be shut down. So, I mean, could you imagine if Figueroa was closed on a Monday? So one way the TV Academy is trying to downsize the inevitable gridlock is by cutting back on how many cars can drop off guests. So I think we might see some party buses.
Oh, I have a prediction. Oprah's going to be late.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I don't see Oprah. I don't see her on the blue line.
Get the Oprah copter, Gail.
You know,
Oprah
that's how I,
that's
yeah,
good.
That's how I get downtown. I would seriously, if I were up for an Emmy, I would get on the blue line, the red line, the blue line, and I would walk across the street and everyone would think I was cool.
Well, you know, you could walk across the street perhaps on a typical rush hour Friday in downtown Los Angeles, but perhaps not when President Obama is in town.
Oh, yeah. So this was an interesting story that surfaced yesterday during kind of the Obama jam. Right across from Cedars-Sinai Hospital, there was a pregnant lady sitting on a bus bench who everybody said was in labor and needed to get across the street to the hospital, had to wait for a half hour.
Oh.
Witness Carrie Clifford. And this was posted by my friend and former colleague over at NBC4, Robert Kovacic. He posted this on his Instagram, and he was asking the police, can this lady get across the street? And they're like, in about 30 minutes when the motorcade comes through and blah, blah, blah. So this woman tweets that, ironically, Obama is going to Shonda Rhimes' house. This could be Grey's Anatomy. Woman in labor can't get to Cedars because of Obama, right?
Oh, wow.
Well, she eventually made her way across the street. But today we find out that the police are saying she wasn't in, quote, active labor.
Oh, give me a break.
Oh.
Not an active labor. Everything was fine. She, the woman did not tell officers she was in labor, did not request medical attention.
Get
so
out.
According to them, yeah. Everything's cool.
It was the baby was just in labor negotiation.
Yeah,
exactly. It's the
I saw the story on Twitter. I love the hashtag Obama baby watch.
Yeah,
I
right,
love the
right.
hashtag. But, you know, here's the thing, because I know the president's listening in his motorcade right now. Mr. Obama, would you please apologize to the woman? Please. Could you do something correct? Never mind. All right, I'm going to stop.
It's just the traffic thing.
You promised.
I know. I'm sorry.
All right. Jen, I know you love the fast cars.
I do. Hey, do you remember those Acura NSX supercars like back in the 90s?
Low to the ground.
Remember those things? Yeah.
Don't drive over speed bumps with an NSX.
No. You will bottom out. Those things are really low to the ground. I actually saw one last week when I was at that car thing, one of the older ones. But now the upcoming 2016 Acura NSX, it's coming back. So will
That's
it be
a
legitimate
car.
Supercar? Oh, it is so hot. It was on fire.
What?
It has passed its test as a supercar because it burned to the ground.
No, is that what you
at
meant?
At the Nürburgring.
Come on.
Yes, they were testing it at the Nürburgring today in Germany.
I've raced on that on my video game Forza.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I always call it, my husband makes fun of me because I call it the Nürburgring.
No.
I can't ever get it straight.
How do you say it?
Nürburgring.
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 Okay.
Apparently, the fire started in the engine compartment. Two guys test driving the thing bailed out. Road and track photographers say the only question is, did the NSX burn more reliably than the Ferrari 458? We don't know.
Oh.
Production's supposed to start next February in Ohio. So listen to this. The guy who's developing this project, the chief developer, has said in the past that they're looking for the excitement of the Ferrari 458 at the price of the 911. Now, given both early 458s and 911s, GT3s pretty much always
it's
caught
lot
on
of
fire.
Numbers and letters.
That's a lot of money for a 911. I mean, first of all, because
right, 911, call 911
and
your car's going to burn.
And my wife keeps asking, "Is it about time they stop calling it the 911?"
No,
because
you know
of
what?
The
that
tragedy
predates,
in New York.
You know what?
Because of the symbolism.
Oh, get out of here!
No,
stop that.
No, it's a totally different thing,
stop
and it predates
that.
It. They can't. They're not going to change the numbers.
Has nothing to do with.
Isn't it about time Tia Carrera changed her name?
Yes.
Yes.
I agree with
that's
that.
A different story. See, of course. Now you see it, my
that,
way.
Yeah, that
we,
I understand.
We've waited way too long because Jay set something up as the biggest, the creepiest, the strangest story ever to be uttered on this program. And Jay, I cannot wait. What is this?
Now, we've all seen a porcelain doll before. Well, picture a porcelain doll dressed as a little tiny girl. Okay, it's got a dress on. It's got blonde hair, blue eyes, or brunette, brown eyes, whatever you want to do. But everybody's got that picture in their head. Imagine one of them showing up on your front lawn. Here's the creepy factor. Imagine that doll is made and decorated and dressed to resemble your 10-year-old daughter.
Ew.
That's creepy.
11 dolls crafted to resemble the students at an elementary school in San Clemente.
11 different girls?
11 different dolls were made up to look like the 10-year-old students. Well, they're all about 10 years old. Made to look exactly like them, and they've been showing up on these people's front door.
Oh, man, that's like a Stephen King novel. I hate this.
Is this not weird?
It's creepy. Dolls are creepy anyway.
And where's this happening?
San Clemente.
Wow.
So it's down in Orange County.
South County.
Right, correct. And the dolls have been taken into evidence. Investigators are trying to determine what and where they came from or who's behind this.
How about the little girls? It's got to get into their heads.
Freaking out.
Yeah.
Freaking out.
And
okay?
The parents are freaking out.
Kids are still going to school. The parents are, they want answers. They want answers right now. Cops don't know if it's a prank or if there's somebody walking around the neighborhood taking pictures and then making dolls. So high alert in San Clemente if you have a young girl.
Not funny if it's a prank.
Not
and you
funny.
Should bring the FBI in for
well,
something
it's,
like that.
It, never mind the funny factor. There's some creepo out there that needs to be found.
Exactly.
And stopped because who knows what's going on.
Exactly.
What his or her agenda is.
It's the creepiest thing I've heard all year.
Oh, ship your kid to grandma's in the Midwest for the summer.
Yeah, please.
Right. You know?
Yeah. Wait, what's creepier, the dolls or the Midwest?
Oh, the dolls.
True.
Well.
All right. I'm a city boy. Hey, Comic-Con kicks off today. Huge party. Everyone is in costume. Some of them are pretty sexy, too. And some people say, even though the convention has a code of conduct, that code of conduct is too vague and it needs to be rewritten to stop all the unwanted groping and verbal harassment that they say is rampant in and around the San Diego Convention Center. You'll hear from one of the most vocal individuals calling for change next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. We're on every weekday afternoon at 2. I'm Phil. Jennifer Bjorklund is here, so are Jay Campadonia and Chris Martin. Comic-Con is the big comic book, TV, movie convention. It's just a conglomeration of all sorts of entertainment, but with the focus on comic book characters. It happens every time this year in San Diego. Huge party. Celebrities are there. A lot of great-looking costumes. Okay, a bunch of bad ones, too. But while it's like a giant Halloween party, this one comes with a code of conduct and anti-harassment policy. And let me read it to you. Attendees must respect common sense rules for public behavior, personal interaction, common courtesy, and respect for private property. Harassing or offensive behavior will not be tolerated. Comic-Con reserves the right to revoke, without refund, the membership and badge of any attendee not in compliance with this policy. Persons finding themselves in a situation where they feel their safety is at risk or who become aware of an attendee not in compliance with this policy should immediately locate a member of security or a Comic-Con staff member so that the matter can be handled in an expeditious manner. Security may be contacted by visiting our show office, yada, yada. So, last month, a group called geeksforconsent.org publicly criticized San Diego Comic-Con for not doing enough to protect women in costume who attend the annual event. And joining us now is the creator and director of Geeks for Consent. It's Rochelle Kihan. Rochelle, what do you say is going on there at Comic-Con that requires more specific language in the code of conduct?
Hi. I guess what we're saying is that there's a lot of different layers of harassment that happen that make cosplayers, both men and women alike, feel uncomfortable.
No, wait. I'm sorry. Cosplayers are the people that dress up, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Which are sort of like one of the most exciting parts of the convention is the ability to see everyone in their costumes. So they're a good draw for people who want to attend Comic-Con. But behavior happens that makes them feel uncomfortable, but it doesn't necessarily rise to the level of them feeling at a safety risk. And so the most common forms of harassment just don't seem to be included in that policy.
Okay, so describe for me, and again, we're on the radio here, so be careful, but describe for me what you would consider the types of harassment that are not covered in the consent form.
So in terms of feeling that your safety was at risk, it would probably be to the level where you literally feel about to be physically harmed, which does happen. However, there's also just people following, groping, grabbing different parts of your body, making vulgar sexual comments, sort of pointing and laughing, or just making other sorts of comments. Sometimes you get followed around the convention hall. And just feeling generally harassed and not, basically okay. Not just there in your element.
Are
you know?
Some of these costumes, would it be fair to say that they follow a sexual theme?
It might be, no, I wouldn't use those terms, but it might be fair to say that they do show a lot of skin.
All right.
However, they're still dressing as a character.
Yeah. Well,
they might be provocative.
Yeah,
yes.
Provocative is probably a good word. I mean, Jay over here is our he's our man's man over here, and he's thinking about some of the superhero ladies that walk through with not a whole lot of clothing on.
Exactly. I mean, you are the antithesis of the no fun police. I mean, if we see somebody,
not at all.
Oh, come on. If we see somebody,
I would love if you complimented my costume. If I look amazing to you, and I happen to be dressed as a character whose costume is provocative, and you think I did a great job, we're all about you
okay,
saying,
but wait,
like, your costume's amazing.
But you're saying that I can't say, wow, you look really sexy, because that would be verbal harassment? Or can I say, oh, you did a great job on the stitching, and that's okay? I mean, that just sucks the fun right out of the compliment, doesn't it?
Why can't you say you look really great? Why does it have to be sexy?
Because you look sexy. If somebody's got, you know, nothing on, that's sexy. That's what it is.
That's to you, but what if I just really prefer, what if I really want to dress up like Sailor Moon? Because I love Sailor Moon,
sure.
But it just happens to be sexy to you. So now maybe I shouldn't dress up as those characters because a lot of people might find it sexy and might feel that they're entitled to tell me that constantly.
Well,
that's the line that we're talking about.
There are a lot of old guys who think My Little Pony is sexy too, but those guys are creepers.
Yeah.
We can agree to that, right? But this is a room full of young people, mostly anonymous because they're in costume, away from home, probably some of them with some alcohol in them, maybe something else. Many of them in costumes that show off their superhero physiques. It's an environment that lends itself to forward behavior that may even be, I don't know, maybe even invited in some cases. I don't know, will a stricter code of conduct change enough or do enough change to the nature of the show or, for that matter, the nature of the people who attend it?
The conventions we've been at that have a clear harassment policy, there's still so an abundance of cosplaying going on. But there's just more positive interaction. We've also gotten people tell us that they're more comfortable dressing up in the more provocative costumes when they know that the convention has a policy that outlines what the harassment is, and the convention seems committed to actually enforcing that policy because they feel safer dressing up in those costumes.
All right.
Sure, when you dress like that, you might get some comments about how sexy you are, but you feel more protected that it's not going to cross the line from annoying comments to actual physical harassment.
Okay, Rochelle, some important clarification here, and it comes from our guy, Chris Martin.
Young,
good-looking guy, probably could fill out a superhero costume if he wanted to.
Oh, God, don't say that.
So go ahead, Chris.
Superman is the one it would be. And I think she already answered the question. But let's just say you're a decent guy and you have a genuine attraction to somebody wearing a costume, a female wearing a costume. What's the appropriate way to approach, let's say, you?
So right now I'm dressed as Steampunk Jasmine. So if you can tell what I'm dressed as, start a conversation about that.
Oh, yeah,
Steampunk
Jasmine.
I have a compass that I spent much time trying to find. Compliment that and just start a conversation like you would any other day. We just both happen to be at a convention, and it gives you a good talking point. But it doesn't have to be about how my butt looks, you know?
Okay, but wait a second. If I open a door for you, am I now a jerk because, you know, that's, you know, offensive to you? I mean, what's the deal? I understand where you're coming from, and I really feel that there are a lot of nerds at these things that this is the first time they've seen daylight from their parents' basement in years. So I totally understand the creeper factor here, and I don't think a woman should ever be touched or be subject to any of that. I want to make that very clear. But I think that maybe you might be taking this a little bit too far.
Really?
Well,
is it because, do you think I might be taking it too far because it might impact how you get to enjoy the convention, the fact that I'm asking to be able to enjoy it the way that would make me feel safest?
No, I think that's a very good point. I think that's a very good point, but I also feel that maybe people shouldn't be so sensitive. If they're going to put their bodies out there, they are kind of opening themselves up to conversation.
I wish you could see how little skin I'm showing right now, and I've already had someone tap my butt. So
oh, you know, well, that's inappropriate.
I know, but like right. the line. this easy straw man's argument that people say that we're being overly sensitive. But the fact that happened, the next time someone leers at me or says something about how sexy I am, I never know if they're going to be the one that also continues to cross that line.
Rochelle,
so what we're talking about is just creating a safer experience.
I got you.
Maybe those comments will be safer once the physical stuff stops, but we have to start somewhere.
We're talking to Rochelle Quijan. She's with Geeks for Consent. And has anybody officially considered your request to change the code? And are there a couple of specifics that you'd like to tell us about that you'd like to be in there?
David Glanzer, the PR rep for Comic-Con, was interviewed, and it sounds
David basically said what she's saying is that they say their code of conduct is fine just the way it is. They've got extra security every year. They have security guards all the way around. And that's what he says. He says, you know, we'll take it under review. Am I correct with that?
Yes, that their harassment policy is set, that they're not going to do anything in addition.
All right. Well, it's been great talking with you. You're a great spokesperson for this cause, and I wish you a lot of luck. And I do hope that you enjoy this year's Comic-Con, because there's so much fun there. And I'm looking at various pictures of Steampunk Jasmine, and it's a variation on Jasmine from Aladdin, isn't it? I didn't know that.
Yes.
She's a train conductor, I'm assuming. Train conductor Jasmine?
No.
Isn't that what steampunk is? Don't you like trains if you're steampunk?
Maybe. Rochelle?
I have goggles, but I also have a compass, and I've sort of made her like a more badass version, so like I can capture Jafar and stuff.
I am offended that you said badass. How dare you?
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Rochelle, nice to talk with you. Good luck with Geeks for Consent, consent.org. That's Rochelle Kihan. We have a link on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com if you'd like to take a look at that. Wow, that was a spirited conversation.
Yeah, it was interesting. You do have to be aware that dressing up there is like throwing a steak into a group of nerdy pit bulls.
Wow, that's about 5 minutes too late, but good just the same. Hey, Apple's new OS is in beta, but hold on there, partner. Don't go installing it until you hear from our tech guy, Jeremy Anticuni, and he joins us next. Right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980. Well, once again, we have a links page at philhewlettandfriends.com where you can see the link to the website from our past guest. Guests from previous shows, but the one from our last segment, which was a lot of fun. And there may be a bunch of requests to hear that again. So if you missed it, go to philhewlettandfriends.com later this afternoon or this evening, and you'll see a place where you could listen to it on demand and relive the magic.
You know, did I tell you that a friend of mine went the entire day thinking that the plane carrying the victims of the Malaysian airliner crash landed.
Oh, carrying the bodies,
crash landed. She went the entire day, and then she heard our show.
Yes.
And she got the real spit.
When I ranted about the Associated Press.
Yep.
And their lack of punctuation.
Exactly.
And how radio stations across the country went breaking news to say that the plane with the caskets crash landed.
Exactly. She heard it on a local station.
Crash, here. Comma, landed in, yeah,
from
please.
The plane crash, landed in, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we get a quick opinion from Jen on the last segment? Does she have anything to
yeah,
say?
Yeah, I kind of felt like maybe you didn't get a word in edgewise there.
Right? Well, there's a line. I mean, I think she did a good job.
Me too. I was impressed.
Fending
so
off
too.
Jay.
She
but
held
yeah,
her own.
I agree with you. I agree with you, Chris, that it is throwing like stakes into a pit of, you know,
pit
beasts.
Hungry
but
dogs,
but
yeah.
The thing is, that's never an excuse. So shut up.
Yeah.
Right. Ooh.
You know, you can. it's never an invitation.
Well, all right.
Well said.
Hey, Jen. We've been talking a lot about selfies lately. Crooks posting them and getting caught by police. The girl who smiled for her selfie in front of Auschwitz.
Oh yeah.
But look out, selfie. There's something better in town. And Jen, what is it?
I knew you'd love this one because it involves a drone.
Yeah.
It's a droney or a sky selfie. It's like the newest thing. Instead of holding your arm out, you launch a drone and it starts on a tight shot of you and then pulls out to some huge panorama.
Oh.
And they're really popular. They're doing these things in ski resorts in New Zealand right now.
Sweet.
One of the tourist agencies in New Zealand has a pair of those DJ2 Phantom Vision 2 drones with the camera, and they'll do a free little 8-second thing, and it pulls out of the, you know, you're standing there, and then it's all the mountain, and they'll send it to your mobile phone. You can put it on your Facebook.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's cool.
Let's bring in our tech guy who famously got harassed by police for flying his awesome drone over an active crime scene. Jeremy Anticuni is here. You've taken a drone or two, right?
Well, I don't film myself. myself, I, you know, I'd like to film the, you know, the ocean or, you know, what, wherever I'm at, and, you know,
come
obviously
on, get
crime
with the
scenes.
Program. Yeah. Shoot yourself. It's a selfish generation.
I don't know, guys.
Jeremy,
you look like
Ford,
a
man.
You look like a dork there, holding the remote as you're,
no,
you know,
you
flying the thing around.
No, you gotta get someone else hold it for you.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know if this one's gonna catch on. Maybe it will.
Jeremy's two things. He's enigmatic. And he's a control freak. He's not going to hand over the controls to somebody else.
What's right? The first one again?
Yeah. What's enigmatic? He doesn't want pictures of him all over the place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Google
that,
that
true.
One.
Get a dictionary, would you?
I need one,
dude.
A pocket one to carry with me everywhere.
Okay, Apple boy. The new OS is in beta. Tell us about it. And what do we have to be careful about?
Well, Yosemite is the name. Obviously, you know, Apple had been releasing their operating systems with the names of big cats for many years. And last year with Mavericks switched over and started naming them after places in California. So this is Yosemite. It's the latest version of their software. And it is, you know, it's incremental. It's you know, going to be better than the previous version. But, you know, I don't think that we're going to see all that many just ground-shaking new features. It's going to be, you know, easier to do certain things. There are some cool features once iOS 8 comes out in the fall that will allow you to kind of seamlessly transition from your Mac to your iPhone and also be able to accept phone calls and make phone calls from your Mac and utilize your iPhone. So we'll see a lot more functionality and cool stuff coming when that comes around. And for those developers out there, of course, you can be doing that now, which I've been doing, and it's a lot of fun. But for those of you that want to check out the software, it is available in beta. You have to go to Apple's site and register for it. That gives you a code that you can then download it from the App Store. There are a few things that I would caution you about. Of course, it is beta software, so you know you're supposed to use these on testing machines. I don't. I use them on my production stuff and just kind of roll with the punches. But you know, you have the risk of it crashing, you losing your data. Applications that you currently use may not be compatible until the fixes are rolled out and so forth.
Could you potentially fry your hardware too?
I think that's pretty unlikely. I've run beta software for as long as I have been in this industry and have never had that kind of problem. But you know, there are, you know, certain frustrations that come along with it where you have software you need to use and it just simply doesn't work yet on beta. So if you're feeling adventurous, go ahead and try it out. I've been using it for a couple months and I've been liking it.
Fun. All right, I'm in the market. I'm sure a lot of people are in the market for a big flat screen TV. But you know what? The concern is the moment I take it out of the box, there's going to be a better one out there. Tell me about this one that Samsung has put out.
Well, you've got a choice. You could send your kid to Yale for 2 years, or you could buy Samsung's new 105-inch TV,
ooh,
which is...
Hey, I don't have kids, and they wouldn't be smart enough to go to Yale anyway.
Yeah,
so
right?
Yeah.
You can get them 4 years or 6 years somewhere else.
Yeah.
Tell us about this 105-inch. What does it do?
I mean, it's just a TV. I mean, it's gigantic. I mean, that's its shtick. It's, you know, almost 9 feet wide. It's not something you're going to put on the wall, obviously. It's just too ginormous. It has it's kind of a built-in stand, so it's going to take up a significant portion of whatever room that you put it in. And it's curved, you know. We're starting to see these screens that have curved, which gives you, you know, a kind of a better view or a more immersive view wherever you are in the room. So it looks beautiful. I'll give them that. The design looks great, but $120,000.
I mean,
next year it's going to be $400.
Wow,
curved.
Yeah, right.
Is it a smart TV?
Yeah,
I mean, it's gotta be, right?
as smart as they come.
They're all smart, but it's curved. You could sit there on your Barco lounger and say, "Hug me, beautiful, expensive TV."
You could, or you could fly your drone and wirelessly transmit it to the TV.
Love that. This is
Jen likes that idea.
Really smart.
Or you could just look outside.
We're closing
That's
all the.
That's also
circles.
A great option
for free.
Hey, Jeremy. Isn't Amazon putting out a phone, or did they do that already?
Yeah, well,
because I didn't notice. Did the phone come out?
It's coming out tomorrow, and you know we talked about this last month when they announced it, and you know we kind of just went meh. It's, you know, it's their first attempt at a phone. It's coming out tomorrow. Reviewers did start receiving the devices and have been reviewing them and posting their reviews this week, and it's a pretty universal underwhelming response. The device is unique in certain ways. It does have some 3D effects that are enabled by several cameras on the front of the device that track where you're looking or how you're looking at the device, where your head is positioned. So you get some cool 3D effects. It also has the ability for you to point it at a physical object, whether it's a product, a drink, or some kind of product that you want to order. And it's very closely tied into Amazon's ecosystem, so that you can of course buy that product from Amazon. But again, it's just kind of gimmicky, and I don't think that we're going to see enough functionality or enough reasons for people to sway away from the the leaders. Obviously the Galaxy S5 is hugely popular, the iPhone 5S. But my favorite quote was from the Wall Street Journal. Jeffrey Fowler said, "The Fire is the grown-up equivalent of a 9-year-old riding a bike with his hands in the air saying, 'Look, Ma, no hands.'"
Oh, no. So how many fails do they get? I mean, look how many Microsoft phones have come out and nobody cares.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how widely this is adopted. And, who knows? Maybe developers will take the APIs and the functionality that this enables and build some cool stuff on it that we're not thinking about yet. But as it stands right now on this first release, I doubt we're going to see it as a blockbuster success.
Jeremy Anticone, go work on your droney.
I will do that.
And we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. He's our tech guy. Hey, a quick note. Do you love the math? Does it make brain hurt?
Yes.
The dates 4-4, 6-6, 8-8, 10-10, and 12-12 all fall on the same day of the week every year.
What?
I just can't see that being possible.
You can't?
No, but I'm going to look it up right now. I'm going to try to do some math.
You're going
to
check me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fact check.
And while we're talking about the happening kids over at Comic-Con, the correct word for a female dude is, what would you say?
Dudette.
No, that's not right. According to Merriam-Webster, it's dudine.
Ooh.
D-U-D-I-N-E.
I stopped using dudette in the mid-90s anyway, so
yeah, we don't.
Is this breaking news?
Time to bring it back, Jay.
We don't know what you use. We don't want to know what you use.
It's offensive either way at some point,
dude.
I'm sure.
Dude,
I like
either way.
Dude. I like on some of those shows like Battlestar Galactica when they call the women sir.
It was an ugly day at the Hewlett house when my daughter called her mom dude.
Oh, that's a brutal one.
Hey, exciting news on the Alzheimer's front. In fact, if this new drug gets approved, it may actually prevent the disease from ever visiting your brain. Think about that for a second. We speak with our resident doctor all about this exciting new development next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980. We have a Twitter account if you'd like to comment on anything you hear today. It's at As We See It Show. Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia, general term for memory loss and other intellectual abilities, serious enough to interfere with daily life. Alzheimer's accounts for 60 to 80% of dementia cases. More than 5 million Americans are living with it. It's the sixth leading cause of death in the United States, fifth leading cause in California. One in three seniors dies with Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia. Every 67 seconds, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's. It's the most expensive condition in the nation. This year, the direct cost to American society caring for those with Alzheimer's will total an estimated $214 billion, including $150 billion in cost to Medicare and Medicaid. So, Alzheimer's is a problem, isn't it? Wouldn't it be nice if we could make it so nobody got it? That would be good. There's a drug to prevent Alzheimer's entering trials right now, and we want to find out more about this. So joining us live is Dr. Michael Kurtz with the Valley View Wellness Medical Center in Garden Grove. Dr. Kurtz, always great to hear from you. First of all, hopefully you've got this memorized, this multisyllabic. What's the drug called?
Okay, the drug is called Solanezumab.
Solanezumab.
Azumab.
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 Solanezumab.
God bless you.
Wow. I was wondering when that bit was going to end.
You know,
it's
almost not fair. They come up with a name that somebody with Alzheimer's will have no chance of pronouncing, right? I'll have some of that.
Well, you know what? I don't think doctors could pronounce it either. And famous celebrities like yourself, you couldn't pronounce it either.
No. Why don't they just call it, you know, Alzaway or something like that?
Or Azumab. How about Azumab?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All kidding aside.
Yes.
Gallows medical humor aside.
Don't worry about it. They forgot about it already anyway.
Please.
Who are you and why are you calling me again?
Yeah. how does it work? And when we say prevents Alzheimer's, is the idea that everybody would ultimately take this just as a precaution?
Well, that's what they're working on right now. What it does is there's different parts to the brain, and there's also different entities that affect the brain, and one of them is this amyloid beta, and that's what the solanezumab goes after. It kind of prevents the binding of it. You know, it's like an antibody-type response to this type of a protein that affects the brain. So what happens is a study right now, they're doing mild to moderate, they're doing moderate to severe. This is the third part of the study. The problem is they're saying it's okay in the mild Alzheimer patient, but it's not good in the moderate to severe. And the problem with doing this before you develop Alzheimer's is, number one, patients aren't going to take it right away because they're going to say, well, how do you know I'm going to get Alzheimer's, doc? You know, I want to wait till I get it. And with this, it's too late. You know, you got to diagnose it before. And the way to diagnose it with this type of a problem is to do a PET scan. And the problem with the PET scan is it's very expensive, and most insurance companies will not pay for it.
What is a PET scan again?
PET scan is a CAT scan. It's kind of like a very, very developed CAT scan of the brain. What it is. A PET scan right now is used for patients that have cancer, like stages cancer, make sure they don't have it.
You could zero in on a specific portion of the brain. Is that what happens?
Correct. It does this specific entity of the brain. It's not really a portion of the brain. It's a peptide-type response. It's part of the brain.
All right. So
show that on the PET scan.
So you talk about people maybe not wanting, hey, doc, let's wait until I get it, or how do you know I'm going to get it? But if you did take it as a precaution, with most of these pharmaceuticals, there's a whole list of scary side effects, and in many cases, they include death.
Correct. Correct. The side effects have to be, the benefits have to be better than, the side effects. But you know what the problem is, too? By taking this medicine, it prevents you from getting this, the beta amyloid peptide. How do you know, number one, that you're ever going to get it? Because it's preventing it. So you don't even know if that's going to do it. Because there's a lot of people that don't get this. A lot of people develop Alzheimer's also from ischemic changes in their brain, which happens over age.
So when they come up with something, I mean, does it even make sense? Again, I'm not the medical guy here. You've got all the training. But if you figure out a way to stave it off, does that also mean that you could take the next step and come up with a vaccine?
Correct. Yeah, that's usually what happens. Because you know what? This medicine, you know what it is right now? It's an intravenous form. And that's usually how medicine comes out. It comes out as a pill. Then a lot of times, this one especially, if it works, it will come out as a vaccine. People will be vaccinated against it, and that would be the best way to do it.
What happens during a trial then? They get a group of people, and you talked about some that are, early stage and then further along with their Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
What's the process? Is it a year? Is it 2 years?
Well,
how long is the study?
18 months. This is a long process.
18 months.
On this medicine. And this is what they do with the study, because I've been part of it. I was a psychology major, which I told you earlier in another segment. And what we do is we get two groups. You get the control group, and you get the experimental group, the people that are actually getting the medication, And those people, a lot of times, it was on Seinfeld, they get the same side effects as people taking the drug, even though they're not really taking the drug. So you don't know, because there's a strong effect there where, oh, I'm taking this drug, I'm going to have a great memory, and they start thinking that way. But the problem with the studies that I've read so far is that it's not really shown. A lot of them have not shown that it improves memory. It doesn't do really anything for the Alzheimer.
Hmm. All right. So
that's the problem with it. And the side. You want to know what the side effects too? I've got this.
Oh, you have the side effects.
I have the side effects.
Oh, what are they?
My research. Okay, here's the side effects, and that probably is one of them. Of course, they didn't list it, but it's chills, nausea, vomiting, headache, back pain, and cough.
And but not loss of memory.
What'd you say?
Not loss of memory. Oh, what?
One more time?
Well, you know.
Not loss of hearing.
That. But that's the problem with the drugs again, because you don't know if it's really working.
Yeah, well, like when they came out with Rogaine, one of the side effects was hair loss.
Correct. No, hair gain.
Well, hair
gain. Rogaine people used to grow hair, so it was a blood pressure medicine.
Right.
Then they said, hey, you know what? It grows hair. We'll put it out as a foam. So for blood pressure, it didn't really work.
Yeah.
And you know, Viagra, speaking about that also, Viagra, when it first came out, was used as a blood pressure pill.
Right.
Men and women took it, and they found out that it helped other areas of the body better.
Yeah.
And that's what it's used for now. So, yeah, things all have side effects.
All right. So
use it for. Yeah.
So once they finish the trials phase, let's say they come to a conclusion, they have the peer review and all of that, how long before the FDA gets a crack at it?
No, it could take a couple years. That's a problem. It could take a while.
Oh, so the soonest we could see this on the market would be 3, 4, or 5 years, something like
that. Right. Although it is on now, so people could get it, but you don't know if it's going to work. That's the whole problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, there's a pseudo side effect to everything. You know, people could be taking it and think that it's helping.
But a couple of chills and some nausea might be worth it.
Right. But my memory's good.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Wow. Yeah. All right.
But, I mean, you know, as far as, you know, the side effects have to be, you know, the benefits, had to be better than the side effects. That's the key here. But is it really working? And that's what I'm seeing in these studies, is it's not. And now they're doing the phase 3 of it. So
right.
See what happens. So
yeah.
Good luck. But it's worth a shot. I mean, the medicine that's out now between us, it doesn't really work that well. You know, Aricept, Namenda, and Exelon, I mean, that's supposed to also improve memory or at least put people at a plateau.
Yeah.
Doesn't really do that so well.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, very good. Dr. Kurtz, thank you as always. Great to hear from you, and we'll talk to you again next time when we've got some kind of problem.
You got it, buddy. Good talking to you, and you guys have a great week, and I hope I remember this talk. I don't think I will.
Okay. Who are you?
Okay. Who are you, and why are you calling me?
All right. Thank
you. Got to finish the skit.
All right. So, Jay, there was a chihuahua that had some medical issues, huh?
The tiny chihuahua named Turbo. He was born with a birth defect, and he has no front legs. And he's 4 months old. And unfortunately, to be fitted for some sort of wheelchair, a dog has to be 6 months old. So the family in Indy took him around and was like, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? And they said, no, probably the best thing to do is to put your little puppy down, unfortunately. Well, one vet said, nay, I tell you nay. Took apart a bunch of toys,
yeah,
like for kids.
Ah.
And built Turbo a wheelchair.
And we have a picture on our show fun page.
On the
page.
Front of his body, which is interesting.
Look at the picture at the show fun page of PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. And there's a video we're going to post, too, Chris, about City of Los Angeles. And what is it?
It's an award-winning video called Urban Isolation. It's about 3.5 minutes, and it shows all of L.A.'s most recognizable streets and highways completely void of any cars or trucks or anything else, just a skateboarder running around.
Wouldn't
guy turned
nice.
It into the world's largest skate park.
How did they do that?
Hundreds and hundreds of hours on video editing tools.
Wow.
I saw some glitches, though. A few things in the background. Not
we'll
quite
post
right.
that in a little bit on the Show Fun page. Hey, thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Brooke Peterson is our producer, production assistant, Nick Wright. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.